Hi there. It's very exciting to be on this side of ERA, talking about ERA. It was an exhausting experience for the program, but it was a great success, as we're going to talk about, and it, I think a lot of lessons were learned. So what I'm going to do is talk a bit today about the use of ERA vaccine funds, and particularly how the use of ERA vaccine funds compared with the use of 317 vaccine funds. So the historically there have been So just to let you know what I'm going to review, I'll talk a little bit about the vaccine funding background for this program, and then go over for our assessment the objectives, the methods that we use, the population that participated, which is nicely represented by the folks in this room, the results and the conclusions, and then just talk about some of the barriers to ERA vaccine spending that we faced ourselves and that we learned from the states who participated in the program. So historically, the Institute of Medicine talks about vaccine funding being a patchwork, and there really are a number of different sources that help pay for vaccines in the United States. On the public side, there's the Vaccines for Children program. Everybody in this room, I think, is probably well aware that's an entitlement program that started in 1994, and because it's an entitlement program, it has grown when new vaccines have been added to the schedule, so it's a very big program. There's also the Section 317 program, which is a discretionary program that allows states to buy vaccines for other children who are eligible for state vaccine, not necessarily eligible for the VFC program. And then, of course, state and local funds, when state and local legislatures make additional funding available to supplement the federal funds. There are also private funds, those put forward by insurance companies and health plans, and also the out-of-pocket costs that are put forward by families who may not have sufficient insurance and may not be served in a location for underinsured VFC children. So out of this sort of patchwork, there are a number of gaps that have evolved, and usually those are related to the increasing number of vaccines and the increasing cost that goes along with those vaccines. This is a slide, I think it's a slide of accomplishment, but also one of kind of awe. This compares over two decades the cost of fully vaccinating a child. So from their birth through their 18th birthday, the vaccines that they are recommended to receive in 1990 were a very small number of vaccines that cost about $70. So it was a fairly straightforward proposition two decades ago. In 2010, the number of vaccines is much larger. There are many more things that we can protect children against, children and adolescents. And the cost of doing so has increased. And if you look for 2010, 2011, the costs are 2010, male and female, the costs are divided up because these are based on routinely recommended vaccines. And so for the males, the HPV cost is not included. But between these two, it's between $1,200 and $1,500 to fully vaccinate a child. Now, that's a huge growth in cost. There's a lot of benefit from those vaccines, but you can imagine that programs keeping up with those vaccine costs, you know, growth is required in order to be able to do that. So the Section 317 program, as I mentioned, it's a discretionary program. It's been around for longer than the Vaccines for Children program. It funds 64 different immunization programs that include our 50 states, the District of Columbia, five urban areas, the U.S. territories, and a number of Pacific Island nations. So it's a big program. The vaccine funds go to 63 of those 64 immunization programs, and the funds are dedicated to routine childhood immunization programs, as well as some spending on vaccines for adolescents and adults. That varies a lot across program in terms of how much funding is available for adult vaccination. So in the midst of a lot of economic turmoil in the United States, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 was passed. We refer to that in the short as ERA. ERA provided to CDC's immunization program about $300 million for vaccine and infrastructure, and about half of that, or just over half, $168 million, were dedicated to vaccine purchase. The funding, it was stated up front, was one-time funding, which is always a challenge for immunization programs to know how to make the best use of one-time funding. It was available to all of the grantees in the 317 program and awarded through the grant program. And the funds were available on a longer period of time than normal, between June of 2009 to August in 2010. So it's a year and a half appropriation, which is a little bit different for the program. So one of the goals, he does have quite a look about him, doesn't he? one of the goals for the program was involved reaching more children and adults. So in terms of vaccine, providing additional vaccine that could be used, and then in terms of operational funds, to provide the means for administering vaccine through the 317 grantees and their partners. I'm going to focus on the first bullet, and then Caitlin's going to add in some information about the second bullet. And together, this paints the picture of this amazing endeavor that was ERA. So the objectives of the assessment I'm going to talk about were to evaluate ERA vaccine purchases descriptively. So what kinds of vaccines were programs buying with their ERA funds? And then how did these purchases compare with during the same time period with the 317 vaccine purchases? The method was to use vaccine ordering data from our vaccine order management systems between the June 1st, 2009 and September 30th, 2010, sort of the bookends of the program, to evaluate information regarding ERA-funded vaccines. We also used vaccine funding tracking documents that would give information about the 317 program so that we could do a comparison. The population involved in this project was huge, and so there were a lot of people who in some way, shape, or form participated in implementing and monitoring and evaluating this program. That includes staff at the federal level, CDC staff and contractors who administered the program, state, local, and territorial immunization programs who received the funds, and then the state and local program staff who were responsible for management, oversight, and accountability of these funds. And there, I don't need to say it, probably anyone in this room, there was a lot of watchfulness about these vaccine funds that was over and above, I think, sort of what we're routinely used to in the program. And I think it taught us a lot about ourselves, but it was certainly a very high-profile program. And then, of course, there were the local providers and state immunization programs that participated. Sometimes it was the same providers who were already participating. Sometimes this was opportunity for new providers to participate. And so now I want to talk to you a little bit about the results. So I love this slide because things are equal. Of the money that was awarded for vaccine purchase for the ERA program, which was just over $168 million, 99.999% of that money was expended by immunization programs. I think that is worth a clap. I mean, this is due to the efforts of everyone involved on every level, a lot of thinking, a lot of heartache, how can we do this, a lot of planning and replanning. And then the second slide actually looks at this at the grantee level, and you see that same pattern of awarded and expended being essentially equivalent across all the grantees. I mean, it was amazing. Then we wanted to look at what were the vaccines that were being purchased or ordered by providers with ERA funds. And what you can see here is that about half of the vaccines were pediatric routine vaccines, and about 60% altogether were for pediatric vaccines, whether they be routine or flu vaccines. About a quarter of the vaccines were used for flu. Now, state programs and state and local grantee programs made different decisions. About 9 focused strictly on pediatric vaccines, 2 focused strictly on adult vaccines, The others did some combination of products. So there are many different approaches that are sort of all represented here in this pie chart. If you look just at flu, because we had a flu pre-booking that occurred sort of in the last year, the last several months of the ERA program, and a number of grantees decided to use ERA as a chance to buy more flu vaccine, about 57% of the doses of flu that were purchased with ERA dollars were for children, and 43% were for adults. We also looked at which were the top vaccines that were purchased with ERA funds, and that's what's shown in this slide. These vaccines, Tdap, HPV vaccine, varicella, Prevnar, and MCV4, actually represented about 73% of all of the vaccine purchases with ERA funds. So this is a very important top five. It covers a lot of ground. Then what we want to do is to compare that with 317 funding, and the 317 information covers the 09 year and the 10 year, because the ERA covered part of the 09 and all of the 10. So as you can see, there's quite a bit of overlap among which are the most commonly used vaccines. The blue bars represent 317 expenditures for the five most popular vaccines or commonly purchased vaccines in FY09. The gray looks at 317 in FY10, and the purple looks at ERA funding during the 9-10 period. So as I said, there's a lot of overlap. Although there was a little less, there was no remarkable hepatitis A purchase with the ERA funds. And MCV4, which there was a lot of purchase with ERA funds, wasn't among one of the more frequently purchased vaccines during that same time period with 317 funds. But in general, when you look at this, you can see that ERA really was helping people expand commonly used vaccines. And looking at these vaccines, a number of them are vaccines that are newer and potentially more costly vaccines that ERA was helping states to purchase. So in conclusion, the ERA vaccine funding was used to purchase pediatric vaccines and adult vaccines, more on the pediatric side, including influenza and routine vaccines. The most commonly used vaccines did tend to be the newer vaccines and sometimes the more expensive, although that wasn't true across the board. Also, there was an opportunity to purchase more MCV vaccine, which wasn't as commonly purchased with the 317 funding source. Now, the things to consider, or some of the limitations, is that the data that we've got have to do with provider orders. It doesn't actually get down to the level of administration. We're making a jump that if the provider ordered the doses and they got to the practice, that administration was the next step. But we are sort of stopping a step before that. And then there are many other factors that have to go into what decisions states made about what to do. States, as you know, have different states and local grantees and territories have different vaccine supply policies. So in which facility and which vaccines do we provide to which children? And this had to be woven into a pretty complex decision. And again, with the idea that this would be one-time funding, that was the stated goal at the beginning of the program, where do I weave these in? Where does it make sense? Where can I fill a gap? Also, different grantees have different provider choice policies. That factors into what grantees are going to buy with these funds. Vaccine shortages comes in. There was an unfortunate coincidence of some problems with zoster vaccine in terms of availability, and some grantees had to change their ERA plans around that. There's always changing in vaccines, swapping from one NDC or formulation to another. That impacts, too, what can be purchased. Vaccine recalls can as well, and we did have an issue with some of the flu vaccines last year when we were doing pre-booking, and things had to be swapped out to account for that. So there's a lot of factors other than just the purchase data on the screen that go into the interpretation of the data. And then lastly, there were a number of barriers. I think over the year and a half, we learned and overcame these barriers, but I just want to kind of go through them. First of all, again, the issue of sustainability, knowing that these were one-time funds and figuring out what's the best way to use one-time funds. There was a need in some places to do some shifting from, say, 317 to ERA. And there, it took us a while to figure that out, and there was some hesitancy about doing that. Sometimes when grantees found that they had money quickly, it was more than they actually had planned for and needed, and so it took time to get the plans in place to be able to use those vaccine funds. And so that's why it was so important that the program included infrastructure and vaccine funds. There was a slower volume, I think, among the orders for adult vaccines. That's something that we heard from the grantees that was a challenge. And for almost all of the ERA purchases, other than the flu purchases, documenting a usage of ERA funds was actually based on a provider order, not based on what grantees had in their spend plan or what they intended to do. So not only did the grantees have to plan, but then the providers had to do their part. And sometimes with the adult vaccines, there were some challenges there. There were some challenges that we had to learn about when you, how do you deal with a funding source that crosses two fiscal years? What's the right way to do that? How do you divide that up? There were some processes that delayed the initial use of funds. This says on the state side, but also on the CDC side, is we modified our contracts in order to get ERA funds on the contracts. That took some time because it was a new program. I mentioned vaccine shortages as an influencing factor. And then we changed the way that we assign the fund source to vaccine orders after understanding more about our own vaccine program through the experience of ERA. And then lastly, I think we got to, at the end, a really nice way to monitor and show a snapshot of where each grantee was in terms of vaccine spending. But it took a while to get to a snapshot, I think, that was user-friendly and helpful for the grantee. And so, you know, that's evolved. And I think by the end of the program, we got to a perfect spot. And actually, that's something that we want to modify our processes with moving forward, because we thought that sort of watchful monitoring of vaccine purchases really added a lot to the work that we do. So I will end there. But before I do, because we're going to have questions at the end, I want to acknowledge Sashawn Henderson. Sashawn is the creator of the presentation. She was also our lead analyst for ERA issues. Many of you benefited from the work that she did in terms of reporting and feedback, and I'm sure actually work with her directly. And the fact that we're presenting this here is because of her efforts in pulling this together so we could share and talk and have some lessons learned.